And today we're going to talk about post-abortive healing, obviously a very sensitive subject. Much care needs to be taken in and around this subject, but it's one that is very real and sheds light on a very real issue as well. Our spiritual director to lead us through this topic is Father Ben Cameron. He is currently pastor at both St. Helens Catholic Church and Our Lady of the Caves Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. Appreciate being on with you.
Absolutely. And I have to clarify here at the outset, Father, that I'm from the northern part of the U.S. Did I get Louisville, the pronunciation right there?
The people in the city say Louisville, but most of us say Louisville, which is
okay.
More proper,
all right.
I'm not
all right,
from
very
there.
Good.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, just I had heard that yes, there are different ways of pronouncing it, but nonetheless, we're grateful for your service there in the Archdiocese of Louisville, and we are grateful for your time with us today as we talk about this sensitive subject of post-abortion healing. And maybe we'll just start off, Father, by asking you, why is this such an important topic to be talked about? I know it's so sensitive, and yet at the same time, we do want to bring it to light. Why is it so important to talk about a healing after having had an abortion?
Well, there's been somewhere over 60 million abortions in the United States alone since Roe versus Wade. And for every abortion, there's been not only a child that's died, but there's been a mother that's been wounded by the experience, by the loss of her child. There's been a father who has been wounded by the fact that he wasn't there to protect his child or maybe even pushed for the abortion. There are grandparents that are wounded. There are siblings that are wounded. You know, when there's somebody who's been lost, been taken away from us, and especially in an unjust way like this, there's a tremendous amount of woundedness. And a lot of times there's actual trauma, psychological, emotional trauma that people have undergone. So our Lord doesn't just want to forgive people sins they committed, but he wants to heal the wounds that keep us from really loving him the way we should, that keep us from really loving our family members and other people the way that we're called to, we're commanded to. And some people who maybe they didn't have any guilt, they weren't involved in the abortion decision, or maybe it was a woman who was pressured unduly, but they still have that trauma, they still have that wound, and like I said, God wants to heal those things so that we can really love as we should.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's a great reminder that our Lord is not just in the business of wiping sins away, which of course he is in that forgiveness, but with that forgiveness of sins comes the offer of healing, of full and supportive healing to, as you so astutely point out, Father, not just for the people maybe directly involved, but also for all of those who are also involved with a mother, a father, someone who has gone through this very hard time in their life. And so I am just curious too, Father, and have you personally, I assume that many of our priests have engaged this at least on some level. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of how you have interacted in this realm, in the realm of post-abortion healing?
Well, I'm a Father of Mercy missionary. I'm now assigned to our parish here in Kentucky, but for 20 years, I would give parish missions and retreats, and I experienced people coming, you know, with a tremendous wound, and at first, I didn't really know how to help them beyond just giving some words of encouragement after, you know, confession or whatever, and eventually, I discovered Rachel's Vineyard, and went and made a Rachel's Vineyard retreat in order to learn more about it, and so I've been involved with Rachel's Vineyard post-abortion ministry for over 16 years. I've been running the Western Kentucky retreats and helped with retreats in Memphis, Tennessee, and Coleman, Alabama as well. And so I've just had a lot of time, you know, just going through the retreat process with people and walking with people in the journey of healing.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you for your service and your ministry there as well. And maybe just a word or two for any listeners who might not be familiar with Rachel's Vineyard. Can you just speak a little bit about that?
So Rachel's Vineyard is a Catholic-founded retreat ministry, though there's a Catholic form of the retreat and a, what we call an interdenominational form of the retreat that some Protestants would feel more comfortable with. But it's a Christ-centered spiritual retreat that kind of works along the lines of the Ignatian spiritual exercises in a certain sense, in helping us to visualize and to bring to light and to really apply in our lives the lessons from the gospel, where we meet Jesus. We meet Jesus as our healer, as our savior, and we begin to experience him. But it's not just hearing about the gospels and stuff. It's actually entering into them and employing all of our senses and our minds and our hearts and our wills into that meeting with Christ. And so he really is the one who touches people and heals people. But there is the psychological element is involved. There's always a counselor involved to help. Usually a master's level or higher counselor to help. There's always a priest or the interdenominational form of a minister there to assist, and a team of people there to lovingly and non-judgmentally help people to meet Christ and to come to that point of acceptance of their past and embracing the forgiveness and the healing that Jesus offers.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Well, I will pitch it out to the listeners. If you have a story of having received healing after an abortion, whether you are a mother herself or a father or a relative or a friend of someone who you know has received this healing or stands in need of this healing, if you have a story to share with us today, we would love to hear from you. Our number here in the Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, that's 888-914-9149. You can also send us an email at innerlife@relevantradio.com. Well, Father, just a little thought about specifically you talk about healing in addition to, or at least alongside of, the forgiveness that comes from Christ. When we talk about healing, let's talk a little bit from Scripture. Do you have some scriptural bases for the healing that needs to occur, that has occurred, that we see after an abortion has taken place?
Well, as far as scriptures that directly relate to abortion, I'd say there's nothing about abortion in scripture, but we see Jesus healing people throughout the Gospels, not just forgiving, but bringing people to a newness of life. So, for example, the woman at the well of Samaria, Jesus knew what she needed, knew the state of her soul, even before she said anything. In fact, he knew better than she did what she needed. And I think that's something that's an important little lesson for us, is sometimes we're not even sure exactly where we need healing. We're not exactly sure where our wounds are. But he does know it, and he wants to bring those things to light, like he did with the woman at the well. But so he forgave her. Didn't explicitly in the gospel forgave her, but we know that she was changed by that experience with him, that encounter with him. And so that's just one. But there's a number of others. You know, you can see Bartimaeus, the blind man, being healed, and Jesus raising people like Lazarus from the dead. In fact, these are some of the scriptures that we enter into, and we kind of put ourselves into those scriptures when we make the Rachel's Vineyard retreat, to see that we are blind, we are in a certain way spiritually dead. We have been living in a state of separation from God, and here he comes, to bring us that healing. You know, sometimes when people come on the retreats, they've already been forgiven. They've already come to confession. They know in their head that they're forgiven. They know that by faith, but the knowing it in their heart, that the truly embracing it from the depths of their soul, the forgiveness, and then that next step of healing, that our Lord can, in fact, change everything and not take away what happened, but can transform. And we can see how even in that hardest thing that maybe we've ever experienced, that He was there and that He is going to bring us through that and even work that really hard thing in our story into a beautiful thing that will ultimately be for our glory in heaven, you know.
Let's start even perhaps prior to that, Father, if you would. I'm sure that, I myself have experienced the thought of, I don't know that God will forgive me for this, for other sins, not the sin of abortion, perhaps, but the sin, other sins that I have committed. And it's hard to accept and receive God's forgiveness about all sorts of sins. I'm sure that there are some who perhaps have had an abortion or, you know, have aided in a woman procuring an abortion that don't think that they can receive. They don't believe that they can receive forgiveness. Maybe they think the church won't forgive them, that God won't forgive them. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say that there's everything in Scripture tells us that God is a loving God, that He is a merciful God, and that He, in fact, desires nothing more than to heal us and to forgive us. That He doesn't, God is not presented in Scripture as being vengeful or wrathful. He's always calling His children back. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. The people of Israel kept going astray again and again and again, and God just always kept calling them back, over and over again, just infinite patience. And we see that in the history of the church as well. There are people who, let me give you an example. There was a guy in the French Revolution named Georges-Jacques Danton. And Danton was the architect of the Reign of Terror, and he was the one who really got that whole 2.5 years Reign of Terror going, where people were having their heads cut off right and left for almost anything. Tens of thousands of people killed, thousands of priests and religious and Catholics lost their life. And it was Danton was the one who started all that. And yet, before it was over, God converted him, and then he went and tried to stop it and lost his life, was executed himself. But he died as a repentant sinner. And we have every reason to believe that Georges-Jacques Danton is in heaven, you know, and there's people even worse than him. And so I look at it and say, okay, all right, somebody's had an abortion, maybe multiple abortions, and they may feel like God won't forgive them, but there are people who've murdered thousands. Bernard Nathanson, one of the founders of the one of the big pro-abortion groups, I can't remember which one, but he said he personally did something like 50,000 abortions, and yet he was converted out of being the abortion industry and ended up becoming a Catholic and a very strong pro-life advocate. God could change and convert him who actually performed the abortions. God can change any of us, and God wants to, and He wants us to experience that merciful love. And Jesus promises through His Sacred Heart with St. Margaret Mary, the Divine Mercy revelations with St. Faustina, that there's nothing beyond the reach of His mercy, nothing at all. His love and His mercy is far more powerful than any of our sins.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful to hear you say it. You know, I know that it can take some extra added effort and some divine intervention for us to get that from our heads or from our ears to our heads and then from our heads to our hearts and really recognize that. But it's an important point to be said. We need to hear it again and again and again, how scandalously large is the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Father, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue on with this important topic. We're talking about post-abortive healing today on The Inner Life. Our spiritual director is Father Ben Cameron. If you have a story of how abortion has affected your life, and if you have been able to receive healing, please call in and give us your story, 888-914-9149. Again, that's 888-914-9149. Our email address here at The Inner Life is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Even if you are someone who knows someone who is in need of post-abortive healing, then call us or send us an email and let us know. Join the conversation. Again, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more on this important topic. Please stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
If you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help. Call now, 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley, in for Josh Raymond this week, and today we are engaging with the very sensitive but very important topic of post-abortive healing with our spiritual director, Father Ben Cameron, who joins us from the Archdiocese of Louisville, Kentucky, where he serves as pastor of both St. Helens Catholic Church and Our Lady of the Caves Catholic Church. And Father, I think we'll go right to the phones, and we'll take our first phone call. We have Nayeli calling in, who is calling in from Los Angeles. Nayeli, welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I just have my story that I had an abortion when I was 14. And my mom kind of pushed me to go ahead and get it done because I was so young. So all of my life, I'm 33 right now. And pretty much all of my life, I thought that was the best decision that was taken for me. And, but right after the abortion, a couple of years after that, I was having nightmares. I was having nightmares of the baby in skeleton. It was horrific nightmares. I would have migraines. I was suffering through depression at one point. It was suicidal. My dignity at my self-worth as a woman, it completely dropped. I couldn't understand why. I was just going through it, and I was suffering in silence, kind of like nobody knew about it but my mom and my sister. And and I think that was very harsh on me until I was 24 and I was able to do my first communion. And right there they talked to me. I was able to confess it. I was able to let it out and kind of heal it. And I'm not there yet. I've heard about Rachel's Vineyard, and I would love to go. I know I need to go to completely heal my soul, but it did help that I went through confession, and they helped me out and helped me realize that what I did was very wrong, and that my soul needed healing.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Nayeli. And you know, the having the nightmares and those things that you talked about, those are very typical of people going through trauma. It's a form of post-traumatic stress disorder that happens a lot of times when people have had abortions. And although I know you feel really guilty or felt really guilty about the abortion, actually your mom was the one who had the bigger responsibility, because, you know, she was your mother and she kind of, you know, pressured you to do that. But I definitely think that it would be good for you to do a Rachel's Vineyard, to help heal more the emotional pain and trauma. And it'd be good for you to invite your mother to make the retreat along with you, because maybe that's something she needs for her own forgiveness and her own healing, to recognize, you know, exactly what happened and that she lost a grandchild in that same moment. So I'd encourage you to make the Rachel's Vineyard, but maybe ask your mom to make the retreat with you. But if she won't, make the retreat for you, no matter what.
Yes, and Nayeli, I'm just curious as you continued to move on, as you made your confession and as you received forgiveness, have you seen the healing continue on since then? I know you've said that you need to do a Rachel Vineyard retreat, and have you experienced some healing, and are you looking then to continue that healing?
Yes, I have seen some healing. I've gone to like March for Life, when I got married and I couldn't get pregnant. It took a while for me to get pregnant, so I kind of felt like, oh, it's a punishment. You know, I'm going through a punishment. Maybe I'm never going to be able to have kids. So that kind of depressed me too. But then I got pregnant. God bless me with two kids, a boy and a girl. And I've even introduced them into like the value of life, the, you know, to have that love for life no matter what. And we go, the three of us, we go to the March for Life, and they're very aware of all this. And so, yes, I do want to continue healing, and I have seen a lot of healing too.
Hmm. And do you think your mother would be open to attending the retreat weekend with you?
I don't know if she would be open, but we have talked about it. We've cried about it. I have forgive her. She had asked for forgiveness. And, you know, like, she wasn't brought up in a religious way either. So I also get and understand that she didn't grow up with those values. Therefore, how could she ever teach them to me, you know? But I don't know. That could be an option that I could ask her and invite her to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. It certainly wouldn't hurt to invite her to come with you. But thank you for sharing your story with us. And I think you brought something very important out, is that a lot of times young women have abortions. They're very young and they're under pressure, sometimes pressure from parents, sometimes pressure from friends and people in school with them and things. And so a lot of times that has a bearing on people's responsibility. So, but thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story with us. And we'll pray for your continued healing.
Yes, Nayeli, thank you so much for the courage that you showed in calling in and sharing your story with us. If you have a similar story, if you know someone who's in need of healing, if you yourself have received healing after an abortion, please do give us a call and join the conversation. 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Father, just playing off of your last comments there to Nayeli and her courageous story there, what can we do as people who are close to those who may be considering an abortion? How can we help them? Because as you said, sometimes there can be a tremendous amount of influence given on the part of the loved ones there. How can we influence them to make the choice for life?
Well, I think one of the things is we have to make a separation, and this is an important thing. A lot of Catholics have the notion that to get pregnant is a sin, and a girl getting pregnant is not where a sin took place. A sin took place in people having premarital sex or in somebody committing sexual assault or rape or whatever it was. the pregnancy is always a blessing from God. Every child, God created an immortal soul at the moment of conception. Every child is a gift. And so the first thing we have to see is we've got to stop having the stigma of, oh, well, she's pregnant outside of wedlock, that pregnancy isn't the problem. And once we get that in our minds, then it's like, okay, can I sit with her? Can I assist her? Can I, does she need to have somebody put their arm around her and say, it's okay, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you with this baby? You know, sometimes girls just feel like they're alone. And if somebody says, hey, I want to go with you, let's go down to the local pro-life pregnancy center. You know, let's get, you know, we'll do the pregnancy test. We'll go ahead. We'll start doing all the things we need to do to help you to have this baby, you know, you know, help her with the discernment of whether she wants to give the baby up for adoption or whether she wants to keep the baby. But them knowing that they're not alone, I think, is a very important thing, and that they're loved and that we're going to stand by them and help them, not just at this first moment, but through the pregnancy and into raising that child, if she makes the option to keep the child and to raise the child herself. A lot of the time, it's the feeling alone, feeling that, you know, I'm all out here. And so when they know that they're not alone and that we're standing by them. There is a priest that I got to be friends with. He's in Wyoming, but he, there was a young woman who was pregnant. She was mentally disabled, and her parents are going to force her to have an abortion. And he went to the parents and he said, let me help your daughter, and me and my parish will take care of everything that she needs. And that's really the kind of thing that we have to do. We have to step up to be there for those girls and to let them know that they're not alone in this.
All right. Right. Yeah, certainly that can be one of the great lies of the enemy, can't it? In abortion and any number of sins, that we're alone and that we have no one to help us, no one to love us, no one to forgive us. And what a great testimony that can be.